What up? Welcome to Burning River Basketball, episode number 7. I'm Danny Cunningham, joined as always by Ben Buckets Belden. Buckets, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I kind of thought for a second that you might forget about the Buckets thing, but no such
luck.
Oh,
I never forget. Now, he thinks that because off air, I never refer to him as Buckets. I always just call him Ben or whatever. But as soon as that red light comes on, it's Buckets. And I always remember, Ben thinks I'm going to forget every time.
I'm not offended by it by any stretch.
I know.
I don't hate it. It's just that I just am waiting to give you grief when you do forget it. And
so you make it seem like it's going to happen when it's not.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Buckets is, I like Benny Buckets. That's what my, that's why I made my friends start calling me. So, you know.
Oh my Lord.
That's false. I haven't done that.
I hope not. Giving yourself a nickname is the worst. Like you,
yes,
you're disqualified.
Different level of. I don't know. Tool.
That's like shooting your shot and just throwing up an air ball, no matter what. Also, we might get into this later in the podcast. This is our first podcast of 2017. 2017 is the year of shooting your shot.
Yeah, so go on and, you know, strap on your LeBron jerseys or your Kobe jerseys or whatever it is and just shoot your shot, bro.
Swish. Shoot your shot. Then anyways, again. Like I said, this is the first podcast of 2017. Also, you know what that means? We haven't talked about Kyle Korver yet.
We haven't talked about a lot of Cavs stuff yet, but yeah, Kyle Korver is definitely a big one.
Well, I missed a week of the season. I was out of the country. I was out of the country when the Kyle Korver stuff happened. I was avoiding Twitter. I wasn't checking things. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who covers the NBA in a different market. And midway through the conversation, he goes, dude, Korver to the Cavs, WTF. I'm like, what? And then I check Twitter and I'm like, oh my God, this just happened. Really? Like, that's wild. So they got Kyle Korver. He's played 6 games with the team now. He's done okay. I think he's adjusting to getting wide open shots, and I had an opportunity to talk to him at practice the other day, and that's definitely something that has been a bit of an adjustment for him, is that he's never played with a passer nearly as good as LeBron James before, and I think that that's evident.
Yeah, and I'm a little – regarding Kyle Korver a little bit, I'm a little bit mad at myself because there were some rumors that Atlanta wanted to start their fire sale or whatever, and I was like, well, Kyle Korver's in the last year of his deal, and I almost wrote a piece about how the Cavs needed to go get Kyle Korver, and mentally I just kind of threw that in the trash because I was like, I mean, the Cavs are not going to give up, you know, a piece for Kyle Korver. And it's not going to happen because Atlanta definitely wants some return on this, and the Cavs aren't going to give them a return. Well, they gave them a return and in a draft pick, and they got Kyle Korver. So, but yeah, the pickup of Kyle Korver obviously is big since JR is going to be out. He even saw it a little bit in the San Antonio game last night where he kind of fills that void of you can shift momentum a little bit. And it gives the Cavs somebody in the second unit they can run some plays for a little bit also. So it's a good pickup, I think.
Yeah. Oh, anytime you can pick up one of the best shooters in the history of the NBA, it's definitely a good pickup.
Yeah. I mean, I de-emphasize that. It's definitely a good pickup, but yeah.
So I agree with you there. I definitely do think that this team does miss J.R. Smith quite a bit right now. I think it was evident last night against the Spurs, and it's been evident in quite a few games recently. Not saying J.R. Smith is, you know, this godsend or someone that's going to extremely alter the outcome of games. Is he going to help you win games? Absolutely. Is he going to be the reason you are one of the best teams in the NBA? No. But they miss his presence. They miss his swagger. They miss his demeanor.
And his edge, I think.
Yes, exactly. And I think that they really need him back, and you can't replace that. You can replace his shooting. They just try to do that with Kyle Korver. You can replace his defense. They try to do that by putting him on Shumpert or DeAndre Liggins in the starting lineup. But you can't replace J.R. Smith.
Yeah, and not having J.R. J.R. is obviously dealing with his thumb thing. He's dealing with his family issues also. So he really hasn't even been – in the building very often lately.
I did see him at practice on Wednesday, I believe. He was at practice at the facility. And that's, I mean, I don't cover the team on a day-to-day basis, I'm not at every game. I'm not at every practice. Not that they've had a ton of practices lately. Right. But I'm not at everything. But I was at practice on Wednesday, and he was there, and it was the first time I had seen him since he broke his thumb.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, they haven't at least showed him at games, to my knowledge. He hasn't been at many.
He was at the game on
he was there shortly after he broke his thumb, but like
he wasn't there on Christmas. He was there Thursday for the game against the Suns. He was in attendance there. I'm not sure if he was at the game last night or not. But he was in attendance on Thursday at the queue.
Right. So regardless though, you know, just not having him around has to be weird for him and just his teammates also. And like I say, I think people devalue what he brings even from a personality standpoint. Like I was saying earlier, like he just has an edge to him. He has a toughness to him that the Cavs need. You know, we've talked about the Cavs not having really an enforcer. Well, he's probably like the closest thing.
And he's not an enforcer. He just,
but he's the guy with that meanness to him.
He's got that it factor. Yeah. Like he's that guy you don't want to mess with.
Exactly.
And right now, you don't want to mess with LeBron, and that goes without saying, but other than that, the Cavs don't have that guy.
Yes. We don't really need to belabor the point. But he's obvious. And then like, if you want to talk about Golden State a little bit, they lost to Golden State for a variety of reasons. It wasn't J.R. Smith, but
I think the biggest reason they lost that game was that they didn't care about that game.
That, and they just don't really,
the number one reason they lost that game.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And they don't have the depth that just having another body in J. I mean, you need a lot of guys to run at Golden State, and the Cavs knew they didn't really have the guys because J.R. Smith isn't around and Kyle Korver had only had one practice at that point, and they just didn't really care. And I mean, they hung around for a little while. Golden State got on their run. The Cavs didn't really care too much to return it. And that was that. So I think JR from just a depth and because, I mean, let's be honest, you can throw DeAndre Liggins in there to guard people, but then Golden State doesn't have to guard at least, you know, now probably two guys on the other end if you want to
throw between Liggins and Thompson.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just like I say, lack of bodies, lack of edge. And I don't know. The Cavs are sort of in treading water mode, I think, until JR gets back and the playoffs start shortly after. So we'll see.
I would agree with that. I think that this is just a race to the finish line that the Cavs are just kind of walking through. But Ty Lue has now officially coached a full season as a head coach. For the second consecutive year, the Cavs lost the first ABC primetime game, so that's a good sign because they've won a championship in every season they've done that in the franchise's history. So, and they're 30-12 for the second year in a row.
Yeah, and interestingly, I suppose Ty Lue has a worse record in 82 games than David Blatt had in his first 82 games, but completely different.
That is not true.
Are you sure about this?
David Blatt won 53 games in his first full season. Tyronn Lue, I believe, won 56 or 57.
Well, somebody lied to me on Twitter then. Which,
well, yeah, you can't trust them.
Well, regardless, maybe it was that Tyronn Lue had more losses through this point in the season than David Blatt did or something. I don't know.
They both had 11. They were both 30-11. And the year before that, David Blatt was 19-20.
I wasn't even trying to make a hot take here, so whatever. But
well, your hot take has been cooled off.
Yeah, it's real cold right now. But I don't even know where I was going with that, Danny. What do you want to talk about now?
What do you want to talk about, Ben? There's so many things to talk about. We haven't talked in a month.
Let's talk about the Spurs game last night. What was your reaction?
The Cavs did want to win that game. The Cavs did care about that game. I think that no Tony Parker actually helped the Spurs. Now I know that that might be a weird thing. Oh, well, I mean, they're down a starter, down two starters without Pau Gasol. But I think that they match up better against the Cavs sans Tony Parker.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the Spurs' lineup, obviously you have LaMarcus Aldridge, and usually the starter is Pau Gasol. But when you put in David Lee, who's a little bit more mobile than either of those two guys, to go and play against Kevin Love, then obviously that kind of helps defensively a little bit. And David Lee's a really good passer also. And
David Lee always kills the Cavs.
Yes, and he really did last night. He ran the pick and roll. He was the receiver of the pick and roll, and he was kind of a lot of times he was diving down the lane and finding guys, or a lot of times they let LaMarcus Aldridge do the same thing and kick it to – not kick it, but dump it to David Lee right there on the block for a little dunk. But, yeah, I agree with you in the fact that I think Tony Parker is way past his prime. DeJounte Murray is probably better. And then you throw Patty Mills into that equation, who killed the Cavs multiple times last night also.
The one that upset me the most is he took an elbow jumper and missed the rim. Like, it hit the backboard. And I believe it was Manu Ginobili got the offensive rebound, kicked it right back to Patty Mills, buries a three. I'm like, are you serious?
Which put them up by 1 point in overtime. Yeah, and that ended up being the go-ahead basket. But, yeah, so the Cavaliers, I don't know. My takeaway from last night's game is, yeah, the Cavaliers definitely wanted to win. This was not one where they looked at it ahead of time and they were just like, I don't know about this one. They wanted to win. However, I don't think they wanted to win that badly from a standpoint of, you know, if they really wanted to win, LeBron James would have guarded Kawhi Leonard earlier. It's hard to explain it, but if they really, in a seven-game series, you better believe that LeBron James is spending more time guarding Kawhi Leonard than he did last night. He really only guarded him for last 6-7 minutes of the game, and then overtime also. The Cavaliers, what maddened me about last night's game is that their defense was just atrocious.
They did not show up on the defensive end. That's 100% accurate. And the Spurs really didn't either. Like, it was not a well-played defensive game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. But Kawhi Leonard was able to really just get into the lane off of the pick and roll pretty easily, and he's really good at using his body positioning and his size to just elevate and score from 12, 13, 14 feet away. Did that quite a bit. Also, there were so many plays in that game where the Spurs brought the ball down one pass and they're shooting a wide open shot, which was baffling to me, and it happened quite a bit.
It did.
And
they missed a lot of easy looks.
Yes, yes. I mean, and so did the Cavs, too. So, I mean,
yeah, Kevin Love missed 4 or 5 very open threes in the fourth quarter.
Two of them within 3 seconds of each other.
Yeah, from the same exact spot.
From the same exact spot.
And it was the same exact miss.
Yep. Yep.
Best shot of the night, though, goes to LeBron James on the three to tie it, with a little under 40 in regulation, I believe. He just hit that 30-footer. It was an absolute bomb.
Yes, yes. And how do you feel about the last play of the game?
I don't mind it. LeBron had a real good fourth quarter. I believe he had 13 points in the first fourth quarter or 10 or something. And it started out with Kawhi Leonard on him, and then they got Danny Green on him via a switch. And when you're LeBron James and you have Danny Green on him, it's you're shooting the shot, especially after on the previous possession you buried a 30-footer. I mean, the LeBron James heat check always happens. Like, no matter if LeBron hits a three, the next possession is automatically a LeBron three. Like, that is what it is. I've learned to live with that. Every single time he hits a three, the next possession LeBron James is shooting a three. That's the worst kept secret in the NBA. So I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with LeBron James shooting the last shot, especially against Danny Green. But I don't like a step back from the corner for three.
He makes a lot of shots from that left corner. That's the one spot on the floor he shoots the ball extremely well.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and if you think back to, you know, Cavs Bulls.
That was a very similar shot.
Very similar shot. But, I mean, it's the equivalent for LeBron as Kyrie's right three-point arc.
Right wing. The right wing three.
Yes.
The three biggest shots of his career arguably have all been from the same exact spot.
Exactly. But I don't know. If I'm LeBron James and Danny Green is guarding me, who, I don't know, not as physically imposing as LeBron and certainly not as Kawhi Leonard either, I'm going to the rack on that.
See, I disagree there.
Tell me why.
In the last 10 seconds of games, anything goes. Whistles are not blown. Whistles are never blown for LeBron James. LeBron would go to the rack. He would get hammered. He wouldn't convert because he'd get hammered, and there would not be a foul call, and you're going to overtime. You have a better chance of converting a jumper than you do getting to the free throw line in that situation. No, LeBron never gets those calls, ever. I don't mind a jump shot to win the game, especially when it's tied. If they're down one, I would have rather seen him go to the hole, but it's tied. You're not going to get a foul call there to gift you the game.
I don't disagree with you, but what's wrong with doing what he did all game, getting to the hole and kicking it out to somebody who's open?
Nothing's wrong with that, but Danny Green's on you. Shoot. If Kawhi Leonard's on you, yeah, 100%, but Danny Green's on you.
See, to me, I mean, the entire game was – first of all, I didn't think last night's game was very I don't want to say it was well officiated. It wasn't consistently officiated the same way. I felt that I felt like the Cavs were getting hammered quite a bit. Okay. I think the Cavs ended up benefiting from a couple of the calls. I don't know. So I don't think that the referees swayed the game in the direction of one team or the other, and I never really feel that way. However, it's fair to
say like they didn't sway the game, but you can also disagree with the way the game was called. Like I do that all the time. I don't necessarily think referees cost teams games a lot, but oftentimes I disagree with the way that they're being called. I don't think they're being called unfairly. I just don't think that they're being called well. A lot of times they'll call the same things for both teams, but I still think it's a poorly officiated game.
Yeah. So, I mean, and just thinking about a couple calls that I really am, I don't know, had major, major questions about. Kevin Love had just gotten called for a charge off of a Manu Ginobili flop when Manu Ginobili had mugged him for three, four solid seconds before Kevin got the ball.
Oh, yeah. And then Manu knew Kevin was going to bump him, and he just went flying.
Yeah, there's no way somebody's body's goes flying I don't know. Kevin Love barely even moved. He dipped his shoulder, and then the physics just don't work there. But whatever. And then
I thought you were an English teacher.
Yeah, whatever. two possessions later, David Lee just absolutely like puts his shoulder, elbow, everything right in a non-moving Channing Frye on the other ends. They call nothing. Channing Frye's down on the floor because his mouth was like bleeding, and David Lee lays it in for 2 points and nothing was called. Yep. So I don't know. There was a lot of physicality that was let go. But the Spurs really defend LeBron in a way where they just try to swallow him in the lane. And you could kind of see it last night. LeBron didn't shoot a ton of – he was not shooting a shot a whole lot last night except for that 34-footer or whatever it ended up being. but LeBron was doing a great job of getting into the lane and finding people, with the exception of two possessions. But I don't know. That's what I wanted to see on the last possession when I saw LeBron was going to have the ball. And truthfully, if I'm Coach Lou, I'm drawing it up for Kyrie Irving in that instance, because Kyrie Irving did whatever he wanted in the pick and roll all night long. And it didn't matter who was guarding him. Kawhi Leonard switched onto him a few times, and Kyrie scored. And he was very efficient offensively. And to me, you need Kyrie Irving to be that guy for you, because he's not great on the defensive end. So I would have – I'd have given it to Kyrie there. And that's the moment that Kyrie lives for. We've seen it since he was really a rookie. Even his rookie season, he was one of the elite clutch players in the NBA. And I want Kyrie Irving shooting that shot. Even if it means LeBron setting the screen for him or LeBron setting him up, I want Kyrie Irving shooting it. So I don't know. That's I don't know. And then the other thing is that Kyrie Irving started overtime by shooting, you know, getting in the pick, the lane on the pick and roll three and times. The
same shot like three times.
But then they didn't do it for the last 2.5 minutes of the game. So it's confusing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that. I can see why it's confusing. Speaking of things that Lou drew up, there was the turnover LeBron had where he threw the ball to a spot where he expected Kyrie to be and Kyrie wasn't there. And after the game asked about it, LeBron essentially said that we didn't execute the play the way it was drawn up. Not pointing the finger at Kyrie, but pointing the finger at Kyrie. That was the famous snap hammer punch or whatever it's called that they executed earlier in the season where LeBron just threw an absolute beauty of a pass to Mike Dunleavy, rest in peace, and Dunleavy knocked down an open three. And the Cavs essentially drew up the same play off of an inbound, and Kyrie wasn't there. And it was a pretty big moment in the game. I mean, it was a bad turnover for the Cavs, and I personally put that one on Kyrie. Ben, I know you feel a little bit different about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I was talking to you about this before we started recording, and without knowing exactly how that play was either practiced or drawn up in the conversations that were had, it's hard to tell. But I actually went back and I watched most of the second half today on recording, and Danny Green was, I don't know, three steps in that direction before Kyrie had even taken one. So Danny Green had read that play, and Danny Green's a smart guy. And the other thing is that so Kyrie wasn't going to be open. He probably should have been there to at least try to come catch the pass. He might have been able to catch the pass. He wouldn't be able to get a good three off, I don't think.
But catching the pass is better than a turnover, than the ball just sailing out of bounds. I think it's on Kyrie because LeBron's throwing a blind pass, and he's expecting Kyrie to be in a spot. And when Kyrie's not there, it looks bad on LeBron, but LeBron's just executing the play the way it was drawn up. Kyrie's the one out of position.
I don't know for sure that Danny Green doesn't intercept the pass. I mean, it's hard to tell. It might not even make it to Kyrie, and it might be a turnover either way. It's just a live ball turnover instead of a dead ball. The other thing about that is Tristan Thompson was wide open. Wide
open. After setting the screen?
After setting the screen for LeBron.
Yeah, he was.
So that could have been a little dump off for a dunk, and then you're down 1 point with
LeBron is throwing a blind pass on a set play.
I don't disagree with you. That's what I'm saying as far as wish I knew, like, now is the conversation like, now Kyrie, like, this ball is coming regardless. You got to be there, or is it?
Yeah, that's the play. It's not an option play. LeBron is saying, I am throwing this pass to this spot. This guy needs to be there.
Okay, so if that's it, then that's it. But
it's on Kyrie. That's what I immediately said that one's on Kai.
But do you know that that's how the – I mean, do you know that it's drawn up as a blind pass?
Yes, that's the exact same play they ran earlier. Dave McMenamin did a brilliant article on ESPN.com about this specific play. Okay. It is a blind pass.
See, the basketball coach in me says you don't throw a pass until you see the person you're passing it to. But
okay, the basketball coach in you hasn't coached LeBron James.
I mean, that's true. That's the other part of it. And I've not ever drawn up that play either. So
you should put it in.
It's a good play, but I don't have a LeBron James equivalent on my team to throw that pass with that velocity, the little bit of spin that you have to get on the ball so that it bounces right to left.
It's a tough pass to make.
Even, you know, even just standing out on a basketball court with no defense, just trying to make that pass from that distance on the bounce is difficult. That's
now imagine doing it against some of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, right. Exactly. While 20,000 people watch you. So that's the other part of it. Not that that necessarily gets to LeBron, but you know, whatever. The other thing that I kind of want to talk about is the debate that seems to be, you know, one that is a favorite of people around the league, and that's Kawhi versus LeBron.
No, the favorite around the league is Kyrie sucks.
Well, that's a, yeah, that's another.
Actually, one, I want to get into that a little bit after we talk about this. Go on.
How do you feel about does Kawhi Leonard, first of all, phrase it this way, does he belong in the MVP discussion?
Normal years, yes. This year, no. I think last year him finishing second was deserved. I think second could have gone to either him or LeBron. But this year, I think the discussion is 2-3 guys tops, and I think he's number 4 or 5. And it's not, that's not a slight at him. That's a Russell Westbrook and James Harden are doing absolutely unbelievable things, and LeBron James is the best basketball player I've ever watched. That's what that is.
Okay, is Kawhi the best? I mean, are we gonna go ahead and chalk up Kawhi as the second best small forward in the league?
It depends what position Kevin Durant plays.
Right. So say that all three, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi, are small forwards. Kevin Durant above Kawhi in your mind?
Yeah, Kevin Durant's the second best basketball player in the world, in my opinion.
Does Kawhi Leonard – I agree with you. Does Kawhi Leonard belong in the MVP race ahead of Kevin Durant?
Yes, absolutely. Kevin Durant is playing with Steph Curry, who was a 2-time MVP. He was a unanimous MVP, and he blew a 3-1 lead against the Cavs. Swish. Klay Thompson, who is regarded as one of the, wrongly regarded, as one of the best two-way players in the game.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see that, like, oh, gosh, it had to have been, it was Colin Cowherd put Klay Thompson as the 7th best player in the NBA?
I did not see that.
Oh, mercy me, oh, my.
I'm not a huge Colin Cowherd guy. I will tell you who I am very big on, and that's Nick Wright. I think Nick Wright is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But anyways, I don't know. Were you finishing a point? Because I just got all fired
all up. Klay Thompson's offensive game is him just standing on the three-point arc and shooting. Like, he's limited offensively. He is a very good defender and a terrific shooter. But he's not a good passer. He's not that good of a ball handler. There are holes in his offensive game, but he's an outstanding shooter. So, I mean, that's his game, and there's no issue with that. But I think that there are better two-way players in the league, Kawhi Leonard being one of them. And Draymond Green is pretty good, too. So for Kevin Durant to be playing with three guys better than the second best player on the Spurs, it makes you think, okay, this guy's got a lot of help. He is having a real good year, but MVP, I don't think so.
So, assuming that as small forwards go, you've got LeBron and Kevin Durant. Is Kyrie – see, I just tried to combine Kyrie and Kawhi again. This is getting difficult. Is Kawhi – in the same tier as Kevin Durant, LeBron James?
No.
Or is he the star?
No one else is in that tier. That tier is – the first tier is LeBron James and Kevin Durant. End of tier. That's it.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate also and ask you another question related to this. Does the fact that now that the Spurs don't have Tim Duncan and it seems like they're – moving on from Tony Parker slowly but surely, and Kawhi is really the guy, as we saw, you know, firsthand last night on the Quicken Loans Arena floor, is he getting to that tier?
I don't know if he's getting to that tier. I don't know if it's possible for him to get to that tier. I think Kawhi Leonard does what he does because, one, he's an extremely hard worker. The way his game's developed is incredibly impressive. He is extremely talented, but LeBron and KD are just naturally two of the two best basketball players I've ever watched in person. There's no doubt about that. And I think that they're at not only like the top tier now, but they just as far as natural talent goes, you can't name five guys that have played in the NBA that are more naturally talented than those two. Kawhi Leonard is a special player, but LeBron and KD are two all-time greats, two greats that are going to be talked about for the rest of eternity, for the rest of basketball. This is not a slight at Kawhi at all. It's just I don't think we take account how special LeBron and KD truly are sometimes.
Yeah, and I don't know. Part of the reason that I have asked you some of these questions and the sequence of questions is just me thinking last night for a couple hours after the game, because I had some time to think about a conversation I was having with Matt Moore of CBS Sports.
Matt Moore is awesome, by the way. You should absolutely follow him and read everything he writes. He's tremendous.
Absolutely. And Matt Moore essentially was saying that, well, yeah, Kawhi is really good. He has some qualms about Kawhi Leonard as far as a number one option, because as we saw in the game last night, he was 2 for 6 and a minus, I think, 8 or 6 or 8 in the last like 6 minutes of the game when it was crunch time for the Spurs and Cavs. And
essentially when they put LeBron on Kawhi Leonard, he disappeared.
When they put LeBron on. Yes. And the argument is that Kawhi carries as much of the load, I guess you could say, as LeBron James does, especially in a game like last night. And I found out through looking at some advanced stats that people weren't necessarily wrong, because LeBron and Kawhi's usage percentages are nearly identical. However,
Matt Moore has done, sorry to interrupt you, Matt Moore has done some extensive work on Kawhi Leonard's like offensive rating, the team's rating with him on and off the floor, his defensive rating, stuff like that.
Right. And then the other fold of that argument is that LeBron and Kawhi have a similar usage percentage, and Kawhi guards LeBron for 48 minutes, or I mean, not 48 minutes because he doesn't play the whole 48, but the entire 40, time.
Probably 45 last night. I'll check what he played last night.
Right. And LeBron doesn't do the same. And I don't know. I think it's really hard to compare LeBron and Kawhi, because they're very, very different players. I think that LeBron is more of a guy that Kawhi doesn't have the facilitating.
Oh, no. I don't think there's ever been another three that has the facilitating abilities LeBron does. I think LeBron is the best front court passer in the history of basketball. And Kawhi played 45 minutes and 59 seconds last night.
Yeah. Sounds about right. So,
and LeBron played 45 minutes and 20 seconds.
Kawhi is averaging exactly 5 fewer assists than LeBron James is this season.
Which isn't, again, this stuff is not a knock on Kawhi. Let's get that 100% clear. LeBron James might be the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yes. Yes. So I don't know, to finish my point, their games are completely different offensively to me. They play in different systems. I think that Kawhi fits into a Spurs system because it's predicated on ball movement and pick and roll and things like that. And you don't really hear the term system player when you talk about a basketball player as much.
You typically think system quarterback, but
right. But to
there's
an extent,
not a better fit. For Kawhi Leonard than the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the Spurs, had Kawhi Leonard been drafted to, say, the Cavs when they were bad, he's not as good of a player, I don't think.
No.
Because there's a system in place in San Antonio, a system that allows Kawhi to come off of ball screens, and Kawhi tends to like to get into the lane, use body position and his size to elevate over people or create separation. Whereas LeBron is more of an isolation type player. He's drive and kick to opposite corners and just makes some insane passes. So I mean, that was kind of part of the conversation that I was having. Just wanted to get your feedback on that. I don't think you can say that, despite the fact that Kawhi's usage is similar to LeBron's, as far as percentage, which, and usage percentage, for those that don't know, it's It's a stat that's drawn from how many possessions per game end in either an assist, a turnover, or that person scoring. And I think there's a couple other ones, or getting fouled or whatever, and all that good stuff. So despite that, I think the Spurs system sets Kawhi up to benefit in that. And there's no way that you can put Kawhi in the same conversation as LeBron right now. Now, if he goes and he wins a championship this year and he carries the team, then maybe you start to put him in that. But I don't really think that that's going to happen, because I don't think that the Spurs can beat the Cavs in a 7-game series, and I kind of doubt they get by the Warriors either. But
see,
we'll see.
I could see them beating the Warriors.
Honestly. I could see it. I don't think it's
no one happen. Talks about it. And they, I know regular season games mean nothing, but they throttled Golden State in Golden State earlier this season. I know regular season games mean nothing, but I could see them giving the Warriors a run for their money, just because they don't beat themselves ever. The San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich coach teams never, ever, ever, ever beat themselves. The Golden State Warriors, while they have that ability to explode and just make any team look like a middle school team, they've got that ability to implode and make themselves look real bad.
Yeah.
And if there's a team that could happen against, and that said team could really take advantage of it, it's San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, yeah. And if you think about the matchups, just going with going with the starting five that San Antonio went with last night, Marcus Aldridge is going to cause all kind of problems for Zaza, or Draymond Green.
Hey, Zaza almost was an all-star via the
field. Oh, that's such a joke. That's such a joke. But I don't know. So who do you – and then David Lee is going to guard Draymond Green, and I think he can stay with him to a reasonable extent. Kyle Anderson is also a guy that is underrated. If we're talking about the Spurs a little bit, and we lost Danny, so I'm going to continue talking. And then DeJounte Murray and Patty Mills can. DeJounte Murray is an underrated defender. He can stick with Steph to an extent. So the matchups aren't quite as tilted in Golden State's favor as they are, as you might expect. In years past, you thought of San Antonio as a slower team and things like that, but not so much this year, especially with that new lineup. So Danny is coming back into the picture now, so that's good.
I thought you were gone, and I was talking to myself that whole time I was gone because I wasn't sure which one of us was live. So I did this. Yeah. I went into talking about Zaza Pachulia and had a great conversation waiting for you to come back.
All right, cool. Well, I was just wrapping up what I was talking about the Spurs and Kyle Anderson being underrated also and things like that. So, So moral of the story of what I was saying, what you were also saying, is that the Spurs and Golden State actually, if you from a matchup standpoint, really are, similar. You don't think of the Spurs as being a team that could play with – the death lineup of Golden State, but they really can. And obviously you've got Kawhi that can help neutralize Kevin Durant a little bit and some other stuff like that.
Hey, so. In crunch time, that super death lineup did not look good for Golden State against the Cavs on Christmas. That super death lineup of KD, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, Clay, and Steph did not look good Christmas Day in crunch time.
Andre Iguodala is really regressing as a basketball player.
And that's a huge key. I want to know how the guy is a below average shooter his entire career, goes to the Bay Area, had to have sold his soul to the devil, and just starts lighting it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense. And like, now he was a good basketball player when he was with Philadelphia. He was always a good basketball player, but he wasn't a shooter. Now he's just chilling behind the arc, burying threes. Like, who are you, dude?
And the other thing is that he was such a bad free throw shooter that teams would do the heck of Andre. Now he shoots like a reasonable percentage from the free throw. I mean, he's not great. He shoots a reasonable percentage, and it's maddening. Speaking of hecka things, real quick, you concerned at all that a team might do a hack of Tristan Thompson at some point in the playoffs and cause the Cavs some issues?
No, because the only team I'm worried about the Cavs losing to is the Warriors, and I don't think the Warriors would do that because I think that would get them out of their flow in their game. So I could care less.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know. It was just something that as I watched the Cavaliers go 12 for 22 from the line and Tristan
Yeah,
Thompson
that was
missed
not
four of
good.
those,
No
I was just
bueno.
like, man, if I was a coach and I was thinking of a creative, gimmicky way to try to beat the Cavs, like if I'm Dwayne Casey, I don't know, find some random big man off the street that you don't care that he fouls out in the second quarter and go get the Cavs out of their rhythm by fouling Tristan Thompson or something like that. I don't know. Just something I'm throwing out there to watch for. Like I told you, I think Tristan Thompson's still a left-hander and he doesn't know it, but hey, whatever. He'll figure something out at some point.
Maybe. And last thing I wanted to get into, I brought it up before we got in the whole Kawhi debate, is the hatred of Kyrie Irving. Now, it seems like a lot of the media members have really think he's not improving the way he should, don't think he's as good, think he's overrated. I really thought it said something. He was the leading vote getter among Eastern Conference guards in the player vote for the All-Star game. I thought that really said something. Obviously, the fans are going to vote for the popular guys, the guys with great marketing campaigns, which Kyrie does, the guys with good shoes, which Kyrie does, the guys that are electric on the court, which I mean, offensively, Kyrie is one of the most fun players to watch. But I thought it said something that the players voted him number one, too. I think the media voted him like third or fourth, but the players voting him one, I thought said a lot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that hatred from Kyrie comes from the years before LeBron got there, where you expected him to be the new savior of the Cavs, like LeBron was when he was drafted, and it didn't happen exactly that way for Kyrie, and he was talked about, I guess, as kind of a selfish player, a stat getter, almost in the way people talked about Kobe Bryant and how like. Despite being really good at basketball, you don't elevate your teammates.
Kyrie loves Kobe Bryant too.
Oh
So
yeah.
that's part of where that comparison comes from. Like
Right.
the first person Kyrie talked to after winning the finals was
Kobe
Kobe
Bryant.
Bryant. He FaceTimed Kobe Bryant from the locker room.
Right. Right. So I don't know. I think that's where that comes from. And now that Kyrie is playing with LeBron, people like to say, well, Kyrie's career's taken off thanks to Grandpa LeBron. And they're not completely wrong in saying that, but the other part of it is that Kyrie has developed quite a bit in his own right also. He had a stretch of games this year where 5 out of 6 games he had 10 plus assists. And that's okay that he's learning from LeBron. I don't
I
understand
don't understand who else you would
personally.
want to learn from. Isn't LeBron the guy anyone would want to learn from?
The other thing to Kyrie's credit, I don't think LeBron necessarily is the easiest teammate to have either.
No, you're right. But I mean, Kyrie is 24 years old, almost 25. He'll be 25 in March. He's a three-time All-Star now. Made the All-NBA team. Won an All-Star MVP, was a Rookie of the Year, and has won a title. And he's only 24. Like, that's something that people over his list of accolades is pretty impressive for anyone. And he's only 24.
I kind of zoned out while you're talking there. Did you talk about international ball at all?
No, I did not. He was also MVP of the FIBA World Tournament. He's an Olympic gold medalist. What he's done is impressive.
I got caught up watching some on the TV for a second and didn't just want to repeat what you just said. So, yeah, but you're exactly right in the fact that, man, like the context too. I mean, I know Kyrie's been in the league for now 7 seasons, if I remember correctly. And despite that, he's still
This
a
is his
kid,
seventh
really. I mean,
season.
right. So
And
he's.
in 3 of his previous 6 seasons, he's played less than 60 games.
Right. That's right. It's also true. I think a lot of the hate for Kyrie is also because people kept calling him injury prone, and I don't know. There was, I think that's a valid criticism to an extent, but I never get the labeling a guy injury prone. I mean, if I sprain my ankle, it hurts the same as some other guy who sprains his ankle. I
get it because I was injury prone. It's a lifestyle, man.
I don't know. So it's tough for me to label a guy injury prone. I mean,
for a lot of guys, it's bad luck. Like Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie breaking his kneecap. It's a bit of bad luck.
Right.
And right. A couple toe injuries. It's not like there are exercises he's neglecting to do that prevent people from doing toe and from getting a toe injury. How many times have you done a specific workout so you ensure that your toe doesn't get hurt? Because I can say I never have, and I've never had a toe injury. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's interesting, I guess you could say, from that standpoint. Anything else you want to discuss, or are we wrapping this bad boy up?
No, I think we're wrapping it up, Buckets. I mean, we've been going for about 45 minutes right now, I believe.
Yeah. All right, well, send us home.
All right, guys, you can find Ben on Twitter at bbelden330. You can find myself on Twitter at dcunninghamcle. And you always please follow our Burning River Basketball account at brbasketball on Twitter. Podcast is available on iTunes, on the website, burningriverbasketball.com. We are a proud part of the Sports Daily Network. So until next time, keep shooting your shot.